This poem is called Casualty, comes from a field work which appeared in 1979.
This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, August 18th, 2008. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, terror in Northern Ireland. Seamus Heaney is one of the most famous poets in the world. In 1995, he won the Nobel Prize for Literature, and he is now probably the best-selling English-language poet alive. I'm going to talk about one of his most famous poems, Casualty, with Joshua Weiner. Josh is a poet, and he's also a professor at the University of Maryland, and I'm talking to him from Washington, D.C. Hi, Josh.
Hi.
So, Josh, Casualty is not a difficult poem linguistically. There's nothing formally that it's throwing at us that's difficult to understand, but it does require some knowledge about the historical situation in Northern Ireland, where Heaney's from.
That's right. The poem set in the northern province of Ulster in 1972. Mm-hmm. That's the infamous year of Bloody Sunday.
And Bloody Sunday was a massacre by British soldiers of...
British Army killed 13 civil rights protesters in the Bogside area of Londonderry.
Broken bottles on the children's feet. Bodies strewn across the town streets. But I won't heed the battle call.
So most people will have heard of Bloody Sunday through the U2 song.
Yeah, whether they realize it or not.
Yeah. So that's the background. It's set right after that takes place, right?
Right. So one of the things you have to know is that there are very fierce tensions running through Northern Ireland at this time. There are curfews. There are bombings. It's a dangerous place.
Mm-hmm. So we have a recording of Seamus Heaney reading this poem, and it's from the Internet Poetry Archive. And I'm not going to play the whole poem all at once. We're going to stop and start, and I'm going to ask you questions as we go along. And then listeners, if they want to hear the whole poem without all our interruptions, can go to the Internet Poetry Archive afterwards. The poem begins with a description of a fisherman drinking in a bar.
He would drink by himself and raise a weathered thumb towards the high shelf, calling another rum and black currant without having to raise his voice, or order a quick stout by a lifting of the eyes and a discreet dumb show of pulling off the top. At closing time would go in waders and peaked cap into the showery dark, a dole-kept breadwinner, but a natural for work. I loved his whole manner, sure-footed but too sly, his deadpan sidling tact, his fisherman's quick eye, and his turned observant back.
That's a wonderful line, that last line, a turned observant back.
It's a marvelous detail. His back is turned, but the intelligence is sensitive to what's going on around him. Heaney caught a lot of criticism by moving to the south.
South of Ireland, right?
Mm-hmm. And this was a somewhat controversial move. It seemed to people in Ireland as if he were turning his back on political commitment.
Yeah, he got a lot of criticism for that, and still continues to this day, I think.
Well, it's one of the threads or the tones that's running through this poem.
Yeah. The situation is, here he is getting drunk or ordering drinks at a bar, and then he goes...
into the showery dark, a dole-kept breadwinner, but a natural for work.
He's going from the bar to work.
Yeah, he's a night fisherman.
Yeah.
The key phrase there is a natural for work. That's what Heaney finds admirable about the fisherman.
Now, the second stanza goes into the poet's relationship with this fisherman and the awkwardness that the poet feels about being a poet around this fisherman.
Yeah.
Here's the second stanza, also set in the bar.
Incomprehensible to him, my other life. Sometimes, on his high stool, too busy with his knife at a tobacco plug and not meeting my eye, in the pause after a slug, he mentioned poetry. We would be on our own, and, always politic and shy of condescension, I would manage by some trick to switch the talk to eels, or lore of the horse and cart, or the provisionals.
Now, who are the provisionals?
That's the militant branch of the IRA.
The guys who are calling in bomb threats and blowing up bombs.
That's right, on behalf of the independence movement in Ireland.
And then the next stanza is a shocker.
but my tentative art his turned back watches too. He was blown to bits, out drinking in a curfew others obeyed, 3 nights after they shot dead the 13 men in Derry. Paras 13, the wall said, Bogside 0. That Wednesday, everybody held his breath and trembled.
Now that's the reference to the Bloody Sunday massacre.
That's right, Paris 13, Bogside 0. In other words, the paramilitary. It's really the British Army,
mm-hmm.
but that's what Heaney's calling them. He's picking up that colloquialism from the streets.
Bogside being Northern Ireland Catholics.
That's right. It's like a football match.
Yeah, it's like a football score right. up on the wall.
Yeah. Violent politics has become a very grim kind of sport.
Yeah, and then so he's describing 3 days after this massacre, the Bloody Sunday massacre.
Yeah.
3 days later, the guy goes out on a night of a curfew and gets blown to bits. Now, is the implication here that he was blown up by an IRA bomb, one of his own?
It's ambiguous, but yes.
Yeah.
It remains ambiguous throughout the poem, but the suggestion is consistent throughout the poem as well.
Yeah.
He's a casualty, and Heaney is playing off of the root meanings there as well.
And the root meanings of casual and casualty.
He's a casual casualty. In other words, he's not directly involved with the political struggle there.
Yeah, he's just a fisherman. There's no implication in the poem that this was a militant.
Definitely not. In that way, the fisherman also reflects Heaney's own position as someone who's observing, but someone who's also somewhat on the side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, belongs to the tribe and is complicit in the actions of the tribe. And that's really one of the deep questions that the poem asks, and asks explicitly in the second section.
Mm-hmm. Let's get to that section. This is a description of the mass funeral of the 13 killed on Bloody Sunday.
It was a day of cold, raw silence, wind-blown surplice and soutane. Rained on, flower-laden, coffin after coffin seemed to float from the door of the packed cathedral like blossoms on slow water. The common funeral unrolled its swaddling band, lapping, tightening, till we were braced and bound like brothers in a ring.
So all of a sudden we have this communal bonding experience at the funeral, and it reminded me a little bit of seeing pictures on TV of Palestinians, the way they react after somebody has been killed and they carry them through the streets, this really intense sense of communal bonding.
That's right, and Heaney's building on one of the conceits that runs through the poem.
Mm.
It's the image of water. The first part, the liquid, is the drinking in the bar.
Right.
Now, the streets themselves are figured as bodies of running water.
Mm, and the coffins float from the door out of the packed cathedral. And the next stanza goes back to our fisherman and his death.
But he would not be held at home by his own crowd, whatever threats were phoned, whatever black flags waved. I see him as he turned in that bombed, offending place, remorse fused with terror on his still knowable face, his cornered, outfaced stare blinding in the flash.
So Heaney is reimagining the moment of his death, of encountering that bomb and what his face must have looked like.
Yes.
And he's referring to...
But he would not be held at home by his own crowd.
He's referring there that the IRA often, when it planted a bomb, would call in threats. And so people would clear a specific area probably and know not to go there.
People would know. And the fisherman here is defiant of the curfew.
In order to go...
He wants his pint.
Yeah.
And that's not just an expression of his stubbornness or even of his thirst, but of his independence, too, from the tribal complicity. He won't be a part of it.
Yeah, and that's explained very clearly in the next stanza, which goes into the fisherman's drinking habits.
He had gone miles away, for he drank like a fish nightly, naturally swimming towards the lure of warm, lit-up places, the blurred mesh and murmur drifting among glasses in the gregarious smoke.
That's kind of a marvelous... He's turning a cliché. He drank like a fish. He's turning that cliché into a metaphor. The fisherman himself becomes like a fish.
Yeah, he re-enlivens the cliché by extending it into a fresh figure for the poem.
Here's the rest of that stanza.
How culpable was he that last night when he broke our tribe's complicity. Now, you're supposed to be an educated man, I hear him say. Puzzle me the right answer to that one.
The fisherman breaks in dialogue. It's mm-hmm. a great dramatic moment in the poem mm-hmm. where Heaney asks the rhetorical question, and then the fisherman gets to break in his own language.
Mm-hmm. Now, what does he mean by that?
How culpable was he?
Was he to blame for getting himself blown up? Is it his own damn fault, in other words?
That's the question. And there are other questions underneath the questions about belonging, tribal intimacies, and tribal understandings. The decisions, the negotiations that one makes for oneself have real consequences.
Mm-hmm. And the last part of the poem begins with a description of the fisherman's funeral, which Heaney didn't attend.
I missed his funeral. Those quiet walkers and sideways talkers shoaling out of his lane to the respectable purring of the hearse. They move in equal pace with the habitual slow consolation of a dawdling engine, the line lifted hand over fist, cold sunshine on the water, the land banked under fog. That morning, when he took me in his boat,
and let me interrupt here to say that to note the sudden shift. All of a sudden, we're at the hearse, going from the hearse, and the hearse becomes, in this poem, the fisherman's boat, and a memory that Heaney has of going out with the fisherman in his boat.
Yeah, it's a seamless kind of conflation between the one and the other.
Yeah, let's back up a little bit and hear that.
They move in equal pace with the habitual slow consolation of a dawdling engine. The line lifted hand over fist, cold sunshine on the water, the land banked under fog. That morning, when he took me in his boat, the screw purling...
The screw purling, that would be the rotors of the boat turning, right?
Right.
The screw purling, turning indolent fathoms white. I tasted freedom with him. To get out early, haul steadily off the bottom, dispraise the catch, and smile as you find a rhythm working you slow mile by mile into your proper haunt somewhere well out beyond. Dawn-sniffing revenant, plodder through midnight rain, question me again.
Heaney seems to be saying very explicitly here that what the fisherman does is a lot like what he's doing as a poet.
To get out early, haul steadily off the bottom.
The bottom of the unconscious, one would think.
Well, and they're both working with lines.
Yeah.
This is another aspect. The fisherman's physical life with his tools mm-hmm. Heaney identifies with.
And when you catch something, but you dispraise the catch and smile.
Dispraise the catch. Mm-hmm. Heaney's... For all of his world renown, he's very modest. Mm. And so he is continually demonstrating proper dispraise for his work. And in fact, he's one of the most praised poets in the English-speaking world for good reason, for poems such as this one.
But the place where you go fishing for poems, he's saying in this poem, is the proper
haunt somewhere well out beyond.
In other words, maybe away from the troubles.
Away from the troubles, away from received opinion. Mm-hmm. Poets are often seeking not just positions of resistance or opposition, but vantage points from which they can see things more clearly. I mean, one of the things that Heaney's been paying attention to here is his place, the place of the fishermen, but also the place of others like themselves in relation to really dominating social forces that are running through Northern Ireland.
Thanks so much, Josh.
Thank you.
Joshua Weiner's latest book of poems is From the Book of Giants, published by the University of Chicago Press. Casualty is collected in Open Ground, the selected poems of Seamus Heaney, published by Farrar, Straus, and Giroux. The recording of Heaney reading his poem can be found in the Internet Poetry Archive. We always want to hear what you think of this program. Write a review in the iTunes store or email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The music used in this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.